Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Welcome into Agriculture of America, AOA. Thanks for joining us here today on the program. We got a lot to get to on the show, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on today's program, we are going to talk markets ahead of the USDA reports in just a second with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. In segment two, we're going to have a conversation with Barry Benson. He is the VP of Agribusiness Banking at FNBO, the First National Bank of Omaha. We're going to just talk broadly about the ag economy and more. In segment three, we're going to sit down for a conversation with John Bode, the president and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, talking about the latest Feeding the Economy report that CRA is a part of, along with many other groups throughout agriculture. And also, we're going to talk some ag trade with John coming up here after the bottom of the hour. And I'll have a look at news headlines coming up at the end of the show, including comments from Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack as we continue to watch the talk about Chinese farmland buys here in the U.S. And Vilsack has made some comments here recently that says no matter what USDA and Congress does, tracking China farmland buys will still be a bit difficult. So we're going to talk about that and more coming up here at the end of today's program. Again, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Learn more at Cenex.com. Let's talk markets. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics joins us here on AOA. Mike, great to have you back on the show. Of course, end of the month, end of the quarter, USDA reports out on Thursday. A lot of data being thrown at these markets, and a lot of monthly charts in the grains right now that are a little bit concerning. Mike, talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, the wheat continues to lead us in the downside at this point, Jesse. Now, we did get this morning a Saudi Arabian tender for 595,000 tons of milling wheat. I think we're going to really put to the test the idea that Russia is not in the market as much because of some of the rumors that have been swirling around about the quality of wheat from one of their major exporters. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic, giving us, I think, a bump in the wheat price before the stocks report and the planted acreage numbers. I think that's where I'm going to look most is the wheat, because the trade has been trading so heavily the corn market and the bean market, especially those acreage numbers. On that note, we, I think, put in some more negativity in the soybeans and had to trade into the overnight market, that fresh AgroConsult Brazil soybean production number. They jumped about 4 million tons. They're over a million tons higher than USDA's WASDE report. As a result of that, we've got the beans, especially November beans, now trading back at that same level of March 11, March 12, around that 1175 area. And so we are pulling the premium out of this last several weeks. And I think that AgroConsult number was part of the reason why we're doing that before the report. And also weekly export sales down 26% from the four-week average in soybeans.
Yeah, that AgroConsult number, Mike, it makes someone wonder, is USDA closer than we think on some of those South American numbers? I guess it bears watching to see how this all shakes out in the months ahead, Mike.
It really does, and I think it really puts more onus on the currency markets, puts more onus on the crude oil markets and the commodity sector as a whole. And in this week and last week, Jesse, it felt as though the commodity sector as a whole, maybe minus crude oil, was thinking more of a deflationary mindset. And I think we just got to shake that loose. And if we can, then and maybe the soybeans can go higher then, but probably with the corn and with the beans, or excuse me, with the wheat, instead of just trying to do it all by themselves.
You've tracked some interesting correlations here, specifically wheat and crude oil, and we've been chatting about this, Mike, how the two have kind of, you know, they've diverged from each other here in recent weeks. Talk about that relationship a little bit.
Well, that relationship's typically very strong in the positive mindset, and I think that's only, though, when we have the dollar weakening. And so we've had the crude oil go higher on some supply issues with OPEC+, and an expectation that we're going to see a tightening of the supplies because of the sanctions with Russia even further. The wheat has not played ball with that. I think it's because of the currencies, but I think this goes right back to the issue, Jesse, of the size of the wheat crop. We're still dealing with the lowest world wheat stocks to use ratios in 10 years, the second lowest in actual U.S. ending stocks. Will the trade wake up to that after USDA gets done talking today? And I think that's one of the big features to the springtime trend.
Well, and thinking about the quarterly grain stocks, prospective plantings, those are kind of our new goalpost setters, so to speak. But then you throw in end of the month, end of the quarter on Thursday. There's a quarterly hogs and pigs report out there as well. I mean, there's just a lot that's going to be thrown at these markets that could maybe give us some added volatility as we go throughout the day. So, I mean, talk about just that aspect of it and how we can't necessarily get caught up in the one day type of moves that we're probably going to see here throughout the day.
No, and I think the one thing too that we really jump into relatively quickly after these end of the month March reports come out is the planting weather. And I've got producers getting ready to plant soybeans in central Illinois. Everything is ready to go in northeast Kansas. And so that's the overriding issue. And that's why this report is important. It's not necessarily the report itself. It's the actual numbers against the expectations of the market. And is there a big enough difference there that we can relook and second guess ourselves on pushing these prices down to go and meet demand? Is the supply really as adequate? And if it's not, then we've got something to work with. But if the USDA doesn't come in with any kind of bullish price-friendly surprise, I think the trend is your friend at this point. Unfortunately, the soybeans are probably the ones that I would focus on if it were me.
Yeah, and that's something, and I'm going to be curious too, especially I know we'll talk a lot about the acreage numbers and debate them, but I've had this conversation with many of folks. I think there's going to be a few more corn acres over soybeans here just based off of all the fall field work that we saw here last fall, Mike.
I think you're right. I would say the qualifier on that is anecdotally, a lot of producers in the East are going after more beans. A lot of producers that are not irrigated that I've spoken with in the West are going to go after more soybeans because of cost of production, those interest rates, and those still relatively high fertilizer and chemical prices. You know, they're down, but they're not down a lot. So budgeting is a lot more of a 2024 issue than it was in 2023. So that's what that's a big feature of today's report, because of the fact that we are assuming we're rotating back into soybeans. How much, though, is the big question. That's one of the biggest features to whether we can come back and fill that gap in November beans at 1240 area, for instance.
Quick notes on cattle. Feels like here towards the end of the week, we're recovering a bit after the HPAI news and dairy cattle early in the week. Any notes for us real quick in the cattle trade?
Yeah, panic selling, I think, is over. But I would say also Kansas traded lightly at $3 lower at 185. So the cash is not our friend right now. On the fat cattle side, we need that to come back up. I'd say on the feeder cattle side, watch that feeder index against the March expiration here in April, getting ready to take over at a $5 to $6 discount.
Mike, I know, as always, folks can find you and reach out with questions. GlobalCom Research with two M's.com, GlobalComResearch.com. Mike, have a great Easter weekend. Thanks for joining us on AOA, as always. Appreciate it.
A happy and blessed Easter to you, Jesse, and all the great listeners out there.
Mike Zuzalo with Global Commodity Analytics here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. We'll be back with more on AOA right after this. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel is built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, joining us now on the program, we want to have a conversation about the overall health of the ag economy and more, and get some perspective from the VP of Agribusiness Banking at the First National Bank of Omaha, FNBO. Joining us now, Barry Benson is with us. Barry, thanks for being with us on the program today. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, Jesse, I'm doing great. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you. Happy to be here.
Well, let's just start and kind of set this conversation up, Barry. What are your thoughts on the overall health and state of the ag economy here early in 2024?
Yeah, after some really strong years in ag, overall, we still continue to feel that the ag economy remains strong. We see a lot of our farmers and ranchers in our FNBO portfolio maintain solid balance sheets. However, as we do look into 2024 here and commodity prices, we do see a lot of variability in different commodities. So in the beef, our beef cattle producers are looking to have another strong year here in 2024. Cow numbers are at a low not seen since the early 1950s. You combine that with strong consumer demand, and we are at or near record prices for feeder cattle. And so we anticipate that should remain strong here in 2024. On the flip side, we look at our pork and dairy producers. 2023 was a more of a challenging year for them. Their cost of production was above what they really received for their sale prices. And so that was a challenge. We've seen a little bit of a turn on that here in early 2024 as their demand has increased. But overall, we do project that we'll likely probably at best turn into a break-even year for those two industries. And then moving over to the grains, we had a nice run for 3 years in the corn and soybeans. Projected cash flows here in 2024 are showing a little bit of stress with the recent downturn and a little bit of the slide in prices throughout the last half of 2023 and thus far here in 2024. 2024. So we do think with the planters rolling here in the Midwest in the next month, it'll be interesting to see how those commodities and markets react, and if we can get back up to prices that will be favorable to our producers.
Yeah. Good thoughts on that. And Barry, with the whole ag economy, obviously the overall U.S. economy is a big talking point. There's been a lot of discussion about high interest rates, you know, the Fed seemingly indicating we could see higher rates for longer here recently with their March meeting. Do you foresee this high interest rate environment continuing to be a major impact on farm operations?
Yeah, Jesse, with overall inflation and higher costs of doing business for our producers, these higher interest rates are impacting their cash flow and their overall profitability. Historically, rates are still relatively low, but they are obviously up from where we were 2 or 3 years ago. So we do see that as a headwind for our producers. Earlier this year, we had anticipated that there might be 7 rate reductions coming up here in 2024. However, with inflation still rearing its ugly head here a little bit, the Fed has been more reluctant to signal reductions. And so, you know, we possibly could see 3 reductions here in the second half of 2024, but that yet remains to be seen.
And to your point, you know, you said historically rates are still, you know, are doing okay. I mean, I think about this. I think a lot of folks got used to, you know, a 0% interest rate type of environment for so long that there's some younger folks maybe who think that that's more normal, not the, you know, traditional 3%, 4%, 5%. Right, Barry?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was, I was at a meeting with one of my relationship managers and their customer about a month ago, and it was a younger producer. And as they were looking forward to 2024, they made that exact same comment. They're like, boy, actually, interest expenses are kind of starting to add up here a little bit. We're not used to really factoring them into our break evens. And so we all kind of chuckled about that. But yeah, they were used to them being basically zero, or cost of funds were not very much. And now, with the overall cost of cattle, that dollar amount does add up a little bit. So you're spot on with that.
Yeah. Well, and thinking about a conversation like that, I'm sure many of those yearly operating loan type conversations you may have had with folks were maybe a bit tough as we started off 2024. Can you talk about that some more? Maybe give us some thoughts for farmers as they manage things this year ahead of what probably could be another tough combo for 2025.
Yeah, after some good years, fortunately at FNBO, our customers maintain some liquidity, and so they are well positioned, or in better position to face some more challenging times like this. We continue to work with our producers and encourage them to know their cost of production, look for marketing opportunities that work best for them, and then really think outside of the box and find ways to do more with less, just so they're best prepared to really not only survive this year, but try to squeak out a little bit of profit and then be best positioned for 2025. But we know that is a challenge. At FNBO, we've been in agriculture lending for a number of years, and we know there's good times and bad times. So we work with our customers in the good and bad and do our best to help them be positioned for the future.
We're having a conversation today with Barry Benson. He's the VP of Agribusiness Banking at FNBO, First National Bank of Omaha. Barry, let's switch gears a little bit. I know things like fraud, data protection, that's a hot topic throughout our country here right now. And I'm sure that's got to be a concern amongst farmers and ranchers as well. Is that something you're talking with folks about as you guys look at different things when it comes to fraud and data protection, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, Jesse, it certainly is. Here at FNBO, we take security very seriously. We encourage our customers to be diligent in making sure they're prepared and protect themselves from fraudsters. Unfortunately, fraudsters have a lot of time and are getting pretty unique on ways that they try to take other people's money. So we are happy at the bank that we offer products and services that can help protect our customers, protect their identity, and protect their overall assets that they maintain with our bank.
Yeah, and I know we hear about the stories of folks, you know, getting hacked and phishing schemes and things like that. And it just, you know, Barry, it goes to show there's so much, to your point, a lot of fraudsters have a lot of time, and they have many, many different ways to seemingly, you know, get people convinced that it's a legitimate email or something like that. And next thing you know, well, you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, that's correct. There is, we always encourage people not to click on links that they're not aware of. As a bank, we're not going to reach out to you and say that we're shutting down your system to click this link to reactivate it. But yeah, fraudsters are very, very diligent in it. They're very convincing. Unfortunately, I've heard out in the marketplace that there's been people that have clicked on a link and then received a phone call, and somebody tells them they need to download this onto their computer to fix it, and it only gets worse from there. So unfortunately, if that ever does happen to somebody, we encourage them to reach out to us right away. We have products that are built to prevent some of those things. But if you allow somebody into your computer, we have a hard time understanding who is who there. So yeah, we encourage our customers to work closely with us to make sure they're protected.
Barry, what are some other emerging technology trends that folks maybe want to think about when it comes to ag banking? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Jesse, in addition to just to fraud, as we just discussed, with the overall cost of the cash flow cycle for many of our producers, it's getting to be more and more important to move money quickly and accurately. And so we work with our customers to help them be able to receive their cash on products and services that they sell as quickly and securely as they can. And that way they're able to pay down their operating lines of credit to save on interest, as we talked about also earlier. So in the last number of years, FNBO has been proud to be amongst the national leaders in automated clearinghouse transactions, or ACH transactions. And so we continue to look for ways to help our customers with their overall cash flow.
Well, Barry, before we wrap it up here today, anything else you'd like to add for farmers and ranchers? Some good thoughts to consider you've shared with us already, but anything else you'd want folks to remember when it comes to working with their ag lender or ag banker, such as you guys there at FNBO?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Here at FNBO, we always consider the relationship with the customer to be at the core of what we do. We do know the cyclical nature of ag and know there is good times and bad times. So many of us at FNBO are also producers ourselves. So we are experiencing the same things our customers are experiencing. So just as FNBO has been in business for 165 years, we do know that producers possess the grit and work ethic that is needed to battle through some of these tougher times and will find ways to be successful. Overall, we are very bullish on ag and the men and women who live and work in it every day.
Well, great thoughts, and really enjoyed the conversation, and folks can learn more at fnbo.com. With that, the VP of Agribusiness Banking at FNBO, First National Bank of Omaha, Barry Benson. Barry, thanks for joining us on the program today, and we'll have to get you back on the show again soon. Thanks so much.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Once again, Barry Benson there with FNBO joining us on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. And Cenex Premium Grease is made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll be back with more on AOA right after this.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
You're listening to AOA. Here's a check at markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra. Looking at the grains, Thursday ahead of the USDA prospective planting and grain stocks reports, expectations are for corn acres to fall by roughly 2.6 million acres from a year ago, that to reflect higher production costs and lower profitability. Some analysts expect the area planted to fall even further below the 92 million acres that Dow Jones traders are estimating. Corn stocks at an estimated 8.44 billion bushels would be more than 1 billion bushels more than last year at this time. In Brazil, while parts of southern Brazil are enduring drought conditions, plentiful rains continue to hit the key production areas of the Mato Grosso, with another 2 to 4 inches forecast over the next 10 days. In tenders, South Korea's KFA is in for 66,000 metric tons of feed corn, and MFG is tendering for 70,000 metric tons of corn, with the latter likely to be of South American origin. Unlike corn exports, U.S. soybean exports have been disappointing, as Brazil has dominated the world trade and for March is expected to export close to 14 million metric tons. The USDA is no longer the high man on the totem pole with respect to estimated soy production in Brazil. On Wednesday, consultancy AgroConsult raised their estimate by 4.3 million metric tons to 156.5 million metric tons. That's now higher than USDA's March estimate of 155 million metric tons and CONAB's 146.9 million metric ton estimate. Thursday's USDA report is expected to result in all wheat acres falling by close to 2 million acres to an average estimate of 47.6 million. Winter wheat acres will make up the lion's share of the decline, with an expected decline of 1.6 million acres. That's a check at markets on AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting at homes across the country, and tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Trust your local experts at Cenex today, and they can set you up with all the high-quality premium diesel fuel and premium lubricants you need for your operation. Find your local Cenex or visit them online at cenex.com. Well, right now, we want to talk about the new Feeding the Economy report and other issues with John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. John, it's great to have you back with us on AOA. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Very well, Jesse. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Let's start with the new Feeding the Economy report, the 8th annual report. And I know that this study really just had a great look at the ag economy and the food sectors and more, how it bolsters the U.S. economy. Can you give us just some of the report's key highlights to start, John?
Yes, sir. Jesse, you know, I'm excited about this report. First of all, 32 food and agriculture organizations from across the value chain came together to sponsor it. And last year's report was named one of the top 10 economic reports in the world. So we think we're telling an important story. And what I'm so excited about is it describes the size and complexity of our amazingly resilient food and agriculture system. And it helps tell the story about how agriculture is foundational for the American economy. And it's pretty powerful stuff. For example, you and I are focused on production agriculture, what's happening on the farm. That's how I grew up. I know that's your background. And we've got 2.5 million Americans working in production agriculture. And then that is, we have about the same number of people, 2.5 million more, working in manufacturing of agricultural products. And together, that's about 20% of the people working in food and agriculture systems in the U.S. The other 80% are in wholesale and retail. But as you know so well, Jesse, it's that production agriculture, the 10% of people who are working on farm in production agriculture, that are the foundation for all of that system. And we like to say in Corn Refining that our industry of chemical engineering exists because America's corn farmers are the most efficient producers of carbohydrates in the world. And so it all works together.
It does all work together. Well, and I know you recently penned an op-ed that we shared on our websites too, that kind of ties in with this report, and thinking about the jobs aspect that you highlighted there, and just the amount of good jobs that are in the agriculture sector and how that supports the overall U.S. economy, John, and thinking even back to before the global pandemic till now, and how the amount of jobs, that percentage has gone up some 20%. It's really something that when you sit and you look at the data and the numbers, it's great to see that overall strength of how jobs are that are tied to the ag and food sectors, John.
You nailed it, Jesse. So pre-pandemic to last year, the number of jobs in food and agriculture has grown 20%. And what I think is important to look at is, as you dig into this data, we've got good jobs on farm. We've got good jobs in agriculture manufacturing. We've got good jobs in wholesale and distribution. And many of those jobs are in rural America. And so it fits together. It's an important part of off-farm income in as we look at this system. And when you look at the challenges ahead, you know, I'm an old guy. I've been around this for 45 years. And I look at the 45 years to come, it's staggering. We will have a tremendous growth in world population. We're going to have declining arable acreage. We're going to have complexities, challenges brought on by climate change. This world of food and agriculture for the world is going to be a fascinating place to work. There will be many, many good jobs in the booming industry of American agriculture.
Well, folks can look at the full Feeding the Economy report online, feedingtheeconomy.com. We are talking with John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, here today on AOA. And John, one part of that Feeding the Economy report that I want to talk about, exports, the dollar amount of exports was down slightly since the 2020 report. And this is an issue that you and I've talked about before when it comes to ag trade and really the lack of new trade markets, trade deals, et cetera, that have been opened by the recent administrations. And that is something that is an issue for agriculture right now, isn't it, John?
Yes, sir, Jesse. You know, when it gets down to it, as you and I know so well because we've lived it, American farmers are price takers. They produce a crop and they sell whatever they produce at market price, and the only way to build that price is to have more markets, more markets to sell to. And we haven't signed a new trade agreement in over 10 years. And the rest of the world is moving forward. China is implementing the world's largest free trade agreement right now. And we are having our markets taken away from us. That is a big problem. But there are other ways to open markets too that we shouldn't ignore. And that is, the growth of the bioeconomy. So that is another reason why we need to get a farm bill done. And I really appreciate the fact that the leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees are trying hard to advance a farm bill. We need to invest in the bioeconomy. And we're not talking about a lot of money here. We're really talking about things like actually defining the terms that are used when you in the bioeconomy, so the market can develop with clarity. All too often, when you look at our economic policies, we wait until we're behind 49 to nothing, like in microchips, and then we invest $1 trillion in trying to catch up quickly. China has identified, the bioeconomy, precision fermentation as an area of economic priority. The Defense Department has said it's strategically important. And yet, what do we see happening right now? All of this science is being developed in the U.S., and all of the jobs and development is happening in Asia and Europe. And that's because we are neglecting the development of our bioeconomy here in ways that cost practically nothing.
Yeah, developing that bioeconomy, I think, speaks to the diversification that our ag industry needs to continue to be, you know, economically viable, the economic sustainability of U.S. agriculture, right, John?
Precisely. And once again, it's agriculture that's of fundamental importance to the American economy. You know, one of the things that came out is from feeding the economy is 18% of American manufacturing jobs are manufacturing agricultural products. And many of those are for export. And so, that is 2.5 times the number of manufacturing jobs in automobiles. So agriculture is playing an important role. We need to develop our markets, and we need to develop the bioeconomy as an important developing market opportunity.
Well, John, great thoughts. We got about a minute here. Anything final you would share or reiterate with folks? Anything else going on at the quarterfinals or any other thoughts on the Feeding the Economy report?
Jesse, I would say that I am thankful for you and your efforts to tell the story about American agriculture. And I just want to encourage everyone to get the word out. Because agriculture is so often underestimated as a driver of the U.S. economy, and we've got much to be proud of.
Well, we couldn't do it without great folks like yourself and great partners at the Corn Refiners Association. And again, folks can learn more about the Feeding the Economy report. Just go to feedingtheeconomy.com. And with that, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, John Bode. John, always a pleasure to have you on AOA. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Pleasure's mine.
Once again, John Bode there from the Corn Refiners Association joining us on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel is built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more at Cenex.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at news headlines. AccuWeather predicting a risky hurricane season ahead for the U.S. We're going to talk about that. Also, USDA is seeking more grazing land conservation and why China farmland purchase tracking could be imperfect no matter what. We'll get to those stories and more coming up next here at News Headlines on AOA, Agriculture of America.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh,
really. You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Premium greases are not created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more online at cenex.com. I want to get this thought off my mind first here before we take a look at news headlines. Obviously, Thursday, wrapping up the trading week, the end of the month, the end of the quarter, USDA report day, heading into the Easter holiday weekend. And everyone is going to look at these USDA numbers, the quarterly grain stocks, the prospective plantings numbers. They're going to see what USDA throws our way. And, you know, if you haven't necessarily done a great job of managing your risk exposure in your marketing, per se, ahead of the report, well, it's probably a little bit too little too late. You're going to have to kind of just sit back, see what the numbers are, see what the market gives you as we get into next week and get into Monday, and then kind of go from there. I guess the biggest thing I want to say, and the biggest thing I've heard from a lot of folks, is don't get overly caught up in the market moves that we get on Thursday and the way that the numbers look, because a lot of it is going to be a lot of instant reaction to the report numbers, and everything is going to be assessed to death as we go through the next few days. Things will even out, things will shake out, we'll have our new goalposts, so to speak, from USDA, and the markets will find their equilibrium. So just look at things, assess things, but don't get too caught up in the one-day, two-day moves here in this market. You'll have the opportunity to manage your risk and whatnot here moving forward once we get kind of this new baseline set here of data that's going to kind of shape this market now, probably till midsummer as we start to get U.S. planting rolling and weather in there. So just keep that in mind. Take a look at the numbers. Bearish, bullish, you know, all that kind of thing. And then sit down with your pencil and make sure you kind of have some thoughts in mind. Talk with your trusted advisor to have your marketing plan ready. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it. Don't get caught up in the one-day, two-day moves of based off of these reports and all this data and the end-of-the-month volatility and everything else, because it probably just send your head spinning, okay? So good reminders there. It's something that I really truly believe. Just take everything with a grain of salt, and hopefully you didn't try to outguess whatever USDA is throwing our way here, because it's pretty much impossible to do that. All right, let's take a look at some news headlines. I'll get off my soapbox now. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack told House Ag lawmakers recently that no matter how much Congress tries, USDA's tracking of China's farmland buys of the U.S. will always be tough. China's U.S. farmland buys and its nefarious hacking, IP thefts of seed genetics, and data breaches have raised U.S. concerns to a fever pitch and prompted recent sanctions against CCP actors. But Secretary Vilsack warns there's just so much USDA could do to track Beijing's buys of U.S. farmland.
No matter how much money you give us, it will always be imperfect for this reason. There are over 3,000 county recorder offices around the country. Every county has a recorder office. It would require us to have a centralized database where every real estate transaction would be essentially put into a database to look at.
But Vilsack says USDA is moving ahead with other efforts, including on the GAO's recommendation to work more closely with agencies linked to the Treasury-led Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., or CFIUS.
I made a request of the Treasury Department for us to be more engaged in issues involving agribusiness, agriculture, farmland, and we have, and we've been engaged and involved in a number of projects. We appreciate the fact that in this 2024 budget that was recently passed, provided resources for the first time directly assisting us to expand staffing for that purpose.
Vilsack says the USDA is also expanding its review of loans and tax records to identify foreign land purchases. But in another cautionary note, Vilsack says Congress directed USDA to set up a web portal for data, but never provided the funds to do it. Well, the meteorologists at AccuWeather are warning people and businesses to start preparing now for what could be a busy tropical storm season that may have major impacts on the United States. The 2024 Atlantic hurricane season forecast is calling for 20 to 25 named storms. 8 to 12 of those are forecast to strengthen into hurricanes, and 4 to 6 storms could directly impact the United States. AccuWeather's lead hurricane forecaster, Alex DeSilva, says, quote, the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season is forecast to feature well above the historical average number of tropical storms, hurricanes, major hurricanes, and direct U.S. impacts. All indications are pointing toward a very active and potentially explosive Atlantic hurricane season this year. He added, sea surface temps are well above historical averages across much of the Atlantic basin, end quote. Now, warmer ocean temperatures are one of the factors that can provide fuel for tropical systems to rapidly intensify into powerful hurricanes. So, again, AccuWeather predicting a pretty risky hurricane season ahead. That could send a lot of moisture into the U.S. as well, so we're going to have to keep our eyes on that. USDA is investing up to $22 million in partnerships that expand access to conservation technical assistance for livestock producers and increase the use of conservation practices on grazing land. Now, the Natural Resources Conservation Service is accepting proposals through its Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative until May 26th of this year. NRCS Chief Terry Cosby says, quote, privately owned grazing lands cover nearly 30% of the national landscape, which means we have a tremendous opportunity to conserve natural resources through voluntary private lands conservation. NRCS enlists a wide variety of conservation practices to help livestock producers, end quote. He also says the partnerships will help expand the footprint of conservation on grazing lands. Project proposals for GLCI cooperative agreements will identify and address barriers to accessing grazing assistance for producers. Projects must address one or more of several priorities, including local natural resource concerns, climate smart ag and forestry practices, and others. For more information, just go to grants.gov. And with that, we are about out of time here on Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up on the next AOA, we'll talk about Cenex premium diesel fuel with Aaron Rogge from Cenex. We'll also talk ag policy with Matt Woolman from Land O'Lakes, ag safety with Jana Davidson from the Progressive Agriculture Foundation, and those USDA reports that I was talking about at the start of this segment. Well, we will recap them so you at least know what those numbers are, and we'll get some thoughts and analysis on those as well. Coming up on the next AOA. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Happy to have you along here on Agriculture of America. Have a great rest of your day.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.